The Bible says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. That's an excerpt from a sermon preached by the Apostle Peter in the city of Jerusalem, as recorded in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. We want to say to you on this broadcast, we're talking about wonderful words of life. And we begin the sequence last time with a subject of faith, understanding that faith is associated with belief, and belief is associated with faith. We pointed out that not all belief is a complete Bible faith, but the complete Bible faith must have a belief. Yes, again, in Hebrews 11 and 6, the apostle made it clear when he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is tied in very definitely with our subject of repentance, for it was this apostle Peter who had preached a wonderful sermon in the second chapter of Acts on the day of Pentecost, there when he presented the gospel in the city of Jerusalem. Again, in the scripture that we referred to from Acts 3, we have Peter offering another wonderful sermon in the same city of Jerusalem, probably not too many days after that, and telling the people to turn from their sins and be converted, that their sins might be blotted out. You know, when you begin to look at the aspect of this subject that we're talking about on the broadcast today, you find a topic and a subject that we never outgrow in this life. Of all the things that can be said about a person having in their life for the Lord, repentance holds a vital position. For instance, on that day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to the many people there, you remember they heard the wonderful story of the cross, and then they heard the tragic statement that the same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. These people were pricked in their heart, realizing that they had crucified the Messiah. They had no idea how their sins could be forgiven. They had no idea how they could get out of this apparent dilemma. And so they cried unto Peter and the rest of the apostles in verse 37, and they simply said, men and brethren, what must we do? The very first thing that is mentioned here in Acts 2:38 is to repent. And then it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Someone said to me one time, well, why isn't belief mentioned in that verse? I'm aware of the fact that when Peter had preached the word, understanding that faith comes by hearing the word of God, that these people were convinced in their mind that they had crucified Jesus. From all indication, they truly knew in their life that they wanted him as their Savior. They must have recognized the fact that he was the Son of God, which also implies the importance of confession. The Bible doesn't tell us that they said that with their mouth, but were aware of the fact that it was the practice in the early days, for in the 8th chapter of Acts, after hearing the gospel preached, the Ethiopian said, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there was his confession of faith. You see, these individuals were to turn from sin, which is truly an action that comes from the heart, and then they were to be baptized into Christ. So belief isn't mentioned there, and yet it's written all over Acts 2:38. For I'm sure these people would not have followed the course of gladly receiving the word, as it said they did in Acts 2:41, and being baptized. And then repentance plays a part also in the life of the Christian. I read in the 8th chapter of Acts just recently, in verse 13, how Simon, who had been a sorcerer, who had used black magic to bewitch the people of the city of Samaria, heard the word of God, he truly believed it, and he was baptized. But then not long after he was immersed into Christ, he saw the apostles who had the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands upon people and impart the Spirit to them, and he was desirous of having this. So, following a course that's common in life yet today, he offered money to the apostles. The apostle Peter is the one who confronted him by telling him that his heart was not right in the sight of God, thinking that he could purchase this power with money. He was told, as a follower of the Lord, he was told as a baptized believer to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. So what we're saying on the broadcast today is that repentance always plays a part in the life of every individual. If you're not a Christian, then it's going to be necessary for you to turn to the Lord. And I heard a statement some years ago that impressed me. I trust it'll have the same bearing as you listen today. A man said, you know, when a man repents, the action of his heart indicates that his life be turned around. No doubt he's going down through life with his back toward Jesus and his eyes toward the devil. But when the individual repents, he turns around. He has his back to the devil, and he has his eyes upon Jesus Christ. Well, it's an important point because it implies a great necessity of turning. One good comparison is made in the 6th chapter of Genesis, where we actually have God repenting. No, God didn't repent because he had committed sin. But the idea of God repenting indicates to us a strong aspect of what this word means. You see, God repented that he had made man upon the earth, because every thought and every imagination of man's heart was evil continually as God looked down before the days of the flood. So it repented God that he'd made man. What did God do? God willed that a change be brought about. Now, when man repents, turning from his sin, he changes his will. Also in repentance, I see something I think that's very beautiful, and that's the point that the word itself, implying turning, shows a source from whence we will change our way of direction. And I think this is vital, because it's telling us that we're leaving something behind that we understand to be inferior. We're leaving something behind that truly would be like the old cloak that we've worn for a good many years. It's worn out, it's tattered, it's torn. We're leaving it behind, and we're turning our whole life around, and we're going in a new direction, following Jesus Christ. So the past is associated with repentance, it's indicated. The present is the action of repentance itself, and it indicates to us that there is a new future, that one has his or her sights upon things that are higher, upon things that are holier. Perhaps that's the very thing in principle that Peter meant in Acts 3:19. When he said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And then the interesting aspect that in Acts 2:38, where repentance and baptism are linked together with the forgiveness of our sins, we find an interesting teaching there showing us that repentance is associated with our complete obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the point is that we look at the Bible and we see the matter of faith. We see that which goes into the hearts of men, relating to them what God has in mind, that man might follow the proper course. After all, it has been said, and rightly so, that of all the things that we find ourselves to be inexperienced, and the things that we're inexperienced in this life, life itself can be that very thing. You know, we often hear people say, well, I have lived for so many years, but I still learn something new every day. Now, I don't know whether everybody says that or not, but I believe that's basically true. And this would indicate to us that the new experiences we have in life, maybe thinking when we live for a period of years, we've seen everything. But then there's something else that comes along that perhaps really shakes us up and gives us a deeper insight associated with our life and our living. And you know, that's basically the way the Bible is. I don't care how long you read the Word of God. I don't care how long you meditate upon it. You can pick up that book and you can start reading it and start thinking about it. And you're going to see things that are found there that bring to you a great picture of something that is wider than you really expected in this life. It's much like the good brother in the Ozarks of Missouri who actually owned a cave and who related to some brethren who passed this on to me. They said, you know, this man in exploring this cave thought time and time again that he had reached the end, you might say, of the cave. And he kept searching, and then he'd find an opening that was very small, and he might have even taken his life in jeopardy, we might say, to go through that place. But the point that I'm making is that sometimes when he got through what considered to be the end of the cave, he got into a cavern that was larger than the first one he'd been in. And so in actually owning this cave and finally putting it on display, I suppose he made the opening larger so people could go through from one room to another. Well, that's the way the Bible is. And our life is associated with, well, we might say trying to do the will of the Lord, but so many times we realize we fall short of the mark. So many times we realize that we stumble and fall. Well, the Bible, with repentance, gives us an opportunity to stand up and continue on. It's much like the teaching that was offered to the apostles. When you remember, the question was asked, how much should I forgive? 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. So what does this imply? This implies that it's something that's almost perpetual in our life. And forgiveness must be linked in a very definite way with repentance. So we have tried in this short period on this broadcast today to bring the wonderful word of life to you, the word repentance, and fit it into the great scheme of which is the plan of salvation. I trust you'll meditate diligently in your heart whether you're walking the right direction in this life. Don't be like the people were before the flood, who may have put their confidence in the numbers who were following or believing their ideas, and perhaps looked down upon Noah as he built that ark with no precedent that there would ever be a flood upon the earth. But the story we know as we read the Bible and we believe it is that Noah and 7 others were saved in the ark. These people truly were following the Lord. The others failed to repent. We trust if you are going the wrong way that you will turn from your sin in complete obedience. Follow that repentance with baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Be with us next time. We're glad to have you here. The Church of Christ invites you to their services. And tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast, a wonderful word of life.